Hey everybody, welcome back to my podcast. I'm your host, Jada Charisse, and you are now tuned in to More to the Story, the podcast and show. I'm so excited to finally get to the good part of this powerful story. So as you know, honey, Keisha has been through it. I'm talking about, listen, you heard one and two, part one and two of Brokenness to Wholeness. And it just feels so good to be at part three, where we get into the healing and the personal development and what she did to become a better person and really just get over everything that she had been through. And sometimes it's so hard to see the good man in front of you when you've been broken, when you've been damaged for so long, because so many things may remind you of what you've been through. So unfortunately, it's hard for us to realize that, okay, this is a good guy, you know, and that's because the last guy, he said the same thing. He treated me the same way, and it was good in the beginning, but then, you know, once I got to know him, it became something else. So it takes a lot of praying. It takes a woman taking a chance, you know, and letting her guards down to accept love again. So Keisha, she's going to, you know, start this episode off by what happened after the divorce.
Sure. So, you know, after the divorce, I had to leave. I had to get free in a sort of speak way. So I left the house. I was gone for hours. I drove around again. I'm in a state where, you know, I don't really know anybody. I know very few people. And at this time, I kind of needed that alone time with God. It's in the middle of the night. I'm crying. I pulled over and I stopped at a park. And when I got to that park, I literally just, I bawled. I cried out for God. I asked him, you know, what did I do wrong? Or why is this happening to me? And the sky, I remember the sky being so pretty and the stars, and it just kind of gave me, in the middle, it's like in the midst of a storm, it gave me calmness. Mm-hmm. And then I was able to feel the hurt, but then have understanding with the hurt. Mm. So I left. I went and talked to a cousin who does live in Florida. Her and I talked, and in the midst of me having that calmness and understanding of my hurt, she gave me clarity with just speaking with her, realizing that it may have not just been meant to be for us to be together. It may be how we forced things for so many years, and how it was time to rebuild myself. And she gave me encouraging words. She told me how much she loved me and how she never wanted us to experience the pain that, you know, I was experiencing, or maybe even he was experiencing. However, maybe this was just what needed to happen. So now the sun is coming up. I finally go back home, and when I get home, I go directly into the house. I don't say anything to him. I just immediately jumped in the shower. And at that moment when I got in the shower, I was washing up, and then I just pulled my ponytail out and I washed from head to toe. Yes. And it was literally like me cleansing and refreshing my body, along with me getting ready to refresh my mind. Wow. And I was cleansing myself from literally head to toe to wash away all hurt, all pain, all misunderstanding. I wanted to have a full, renewed me. And in order to do that, I needed to start by a physical cleanse.
Right.
So that I can be acceptive of my emotional and mental cleanse. Yes. That I was getting ready to go on that journey. So, and after that shower, you know, he tried to have a conversation with me maybe hours later. And then it was, you know, well, you know, maybe I will go to counseling. And then as he's speaking to me about possibly going to counseling or us really working on our marriage, I'm looking at him because it's been hours since then. Because after that shower, honey, I got on the phone, started calling around different apartments.
Yes.
It was like, after the shower and the tears, it was like, okay, no more. This is what it is. Keisha, put on your big girl drawers, and it's time to figure out yourself. And
right.
It's time to heal. So as he was talking to me about, you know, going to counseling for himself and then maybe going to counseling for us and really working on our marriage, I felt like what was said was done. And there was no coming back from that. Mm-hmm. Because, see, everything you're saying to me now, you've said it before and you've never done it. So right. What changed from you know, yesterday mm-hmm. and last night to this morning? So even then, I wasn't acceptive of his apology to try to fix things because I felt like he wasn't strong enough to let go. And somebody had to be strong enough to let go.
I promise you. Yes, yes, yes.
Somebody had to do it. So
oh, my God.
I just felt like, you know, out with my cry was God, receiving clarity from a loved one and regaining or trying to understand everything that was happening right then and there. It was time for me to be the strong one to say no more.
Right.
Because if I kept falling back into that, I'd probably still be with him to this day, and neither one of us would be happy. It would be a vicious cycle constantly repeating itself.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of let that go. Now, in the healing process, I was not looking for love. Mm-hmm. I was kind of a little bit over love, like, yeah, whatever.
Right.
I wasn't in a sense that it just never existed. I just felt like at this time, it's not for me. I'm not looking for it. I just want to have fun. I've been in this committed relationship, and although it hasn't been all peaches and cream, I kind of just want to enjoy myself. If I want to hang out with somebody, then I'm going to hang out with somebody.
Mm-hmm.
So I was just in that stage, and a few months later, I was coming to Chicago to surprise my sister, and I happened to see this guy that had tried to talk to me before, but I constantly shut him down.
Mm-hmm.
And he was looking kind of good, you know. So it was like one of those scrolling through Snapchats. And
right.
I'm like, okay.
Hey, big kid.
Right. It was like, okay, well, let me just hit him up and see if, you know, he's available and maybe we could just go out for drinks one of the nights that I'm there.
Okay.
And I hit him up, and I was nervous at first because the first time I ever met him in my life, we were at a mutual friend's birthday party, and the moment he touched my hand and introduced himself, I had butterflies. Never have I ever had butterflies outside of him, my ex-husband, but this guy was, like, totally different. And so when I shot him the message, you know, now this is, like, years later, I shot him the message. He responded. I was surprised he responded, and he responded fairly quickly. Uh-huh. It wasn't long. It wasn't like hours later. And we just got to talking, and I told him, he was like, you know, how you been? Were you, you know, you still in Florida? And I was like, yeah, I'm still out here. And he was like, oh, okay, well, you know, good for you. Congratulations on the new move. And I told him, I said, you know, I'm coming back in town to visit my sister, and I wanted to know if you wanted to hang out. And he was like, stop playing with me. And I was like, I'm not playing, I'm serious. And he was like, man, whatever, you're joking, you're not serious, kind of that ordeal. I told him I was, and he was like, okay, well, if you're going to come out here and I'm finally going to get your time, I want to take you out to lunch. Now, here I am thinking, lunch, that's a whole date. I just want to go out for drinks and have fun, you know, just joke around.
Right.
I'm not thinking about dates.
Mm-hmm.
And he insisted. He insisted. He said, you're the type of woman that deserves a lunch date, and I would really like to take you out in broad daylight to have lunch, and I want, this is how I want it to be.
Come on.
Can you give me that shot? And I was like, I don't know. And he was like, well, can you think about it? I mean, I don't want to just take you out for drinks. I want us to go out. I want us to sit and have one time in front of each other with nobody else around.
Love it.
I waited a day, and then I told him yes. So, and then we didn't really speak after that. And then when it got closer to it, he asked me, like, are you still coming? And I told him yes. So we kind of clarified and talked about everything that we would do or where we would meet up for our first date.
Mm-hmm.
We got there. Ironically, we're dressed alike. I mean, black shirt, blue jeans, black shoes. And mind you, we did not talk really the day of the date. It was just kind of like, are you still coming? Yes, I'll be there. I texted him to let him know I was running a little late because, again, it was my sister's birthday. And I was running around for her surprise because she didn't know I was in town.
Okay.
So he was patient. He was a little upset. I could tell, but he was patient with me. And I got there late, and he was still waiting for me. We went in. We had our date. This date lasted literally for 3 hours. We talked. We laughed. We joked. And we got deep on the first date, like talking about past traumas, what we've been through, why relationships haven't worked for us, what were our faults in our relationship.
Right, right.
We just kind of, we opened the can of worms, like, from jump. Mm-hmm. We were just so brutally honest with each other. And it was like looking at the time, it was like, okay, I got to go. Like, today is my sister's birthday, and I've been sitting here with you for 3 hours. He was like, I didn't even realize it was that late, and he had to go to work. So we hugged each other. We gave each other hugs. We finished the date off, and he was like, I really want to see you again before you leave. I told him, we'll see. But whole time, when I get in the car and I'm on my way to see my friends and my sister, I'm smiling.
You geeked.
I am so geeked and giddy. Like, butterflies have not stopped. We did not kiss or anything. It was just a mutual hug, goodbye type of thing. So later on that day, I'm with my sister. We're kicking it. We decide to go change and get dressed up so we can go out. And he told me, you know, if I was still up, he wanted to see me. He would meet up with us. A part of me wanted him to, but another part of me felt like if drinks were really involved and it's late, with the feelings that were already there, maybe that wasn't a good idea, because then that would bring sex into the equation. And honestly, I wasn't really ready for that.
Right.
So we did not meet up. We decided not to. We decided it was probably not a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
I think I saw him one more time before I left. And that was another, this time it was like the ghetto date. Like, he was like, what's your favorite food? Like, what do you miss out of Chicago since you haven't been here? And I'm like, Harold. I want Harold. Mal, salt, pepper. I want the whole ordeal.
Okay.
He's like, okay, cool. Let's meet up at Harold. And that was like our ghetto day. So we literally sat at Harold. We ate. And this was another just good time. This time we talked about another, like, deep stuff, like religion and what do we consider ourselves as. Where does our faith lie? That was another deep conversation. And then when we left Harold's, we went out for smoothies, and that was just that. It was simple, but it was my kind of simple.
Right.
I'm a simple girl, but it was meaningful at the same time. And it was just a lot. And in the midst of me seeing him and going back to Florida, and now us being separated in different states over the next course of months, it became, I want to see you again. And I'm like, well, you know, I'm not sure. I don't know when I will have the money to, you know, just come back out. And he was like, well, I'm going here in February, and I want to see you. And I'm like, okay, well, I just told you that you're not going to see me. And he was like, I am going to see you. I'm buying you a ticket to meet me in Atlanta. And I'm like, huh?
He's like, flying you out
to Atlanta for a friend's birthday, and I want you to come. And I'm like, okay, but, you know, I got this, I got that. And he was like, you work hard, you go to school, you are a good mom, and I feel like you deserve a break, too. And besides, I want to see you.
Mm-hmm.
So, Chad, he flew me out. And we had a really great weekend yet again. And this time it was more of us being alone for the entire weekend, really getting to know each other.
Yeah.
Just constantly learning each other. And it felt good because up until February, so from November to February, we had not seen each other again. We only had talked on the phone. We had grew to just kind of begin to love each other just by conversation.
Right.
And playing games on the phone to just kind of learn each other. It was kind of cute. It was really kind of high schoolish because we had nothing but time to talk. Just really digging into each other's lives and honestly seeing if this was something we really wanted. And both of us had really felt like we really wanted it. I know I talked to my friends like, I don't know, like, this is moving kind of fast. Like, I'm scared. What if it's not time for me yet?
Mm-hmm.
And one of my best friends said, Keisha, you guys have crossed paths years ago, and you constantly cross paths. And she was like, and even when you were in your stage of, I'm not dealing with nobody else, I'm going to try to make my marriage work, you thought about him in a way of, but what if?
Right.
And clearly he constantly thought about you, but you both had, you, she's like, you shut it down, so he let it go. Mm-hmm. But, you know, now that you're enjoying each other, what if you just breathe, continue on your health journey, but allow him at a certain distance? Mm-hmm. And I did that. And in the midst of me doing that, he was encouraging of my healing process. So he encouraged me to meditate. He encouraged me to really pray. You know, he's not a big prayer. He's like, I don't, you know, really know nothing about that. But one time I literally was at my wit's ends one day, and I was literally spiraling out of control. My emotions were everywhere. And I told him I didn't want to talk to him for a few days. I needed time and space. The first day, he was like, okay. The second day, he texted me. He said, look, whatever you go through, I go through. We do this together. Oh, I'm not there with you. It hurts me that I can't see you physically to know that you're okay. But I want you to do me a favor, and I want you to call me right now, and I want you to pray. Wow. With me on the phone. And he was like, and I'll agree with you and whatever you're praying for, but I need to hear your voice, and I need to hear that you're really trying to be okay.
Yeah.
And at first I was like, no, no, no. And he was put his foot down. No, this is what you're going to do, and I want you to do it because I know it's going to help you, and it'll help me feel better knowing that you're okay.
Right.
So I did it, and once I did it, I did feel better. But it was just having that encouragement, because I know this heals you or this helps you. So whatever it takes to get you to that point, I'm going to be there. Whatever you go through, I'm here with you to go through that stuff with you. So that made me feel secure. I felt protected in a sense. And it just kind of helped me know, like, everything that I've been doing and building and rebuilding for myself is good to see that somebody sees me trying to grow and is not trying to stop me from growing. Not to tell me that I need him, because he never, ever told me, like, yeah, you need me, you know, in order to be who you are. It was like, you're already a unicorn. You're a goat. You're a goddess. This is who you are. Whatever you need to get there, I'm there. Like, this man was something totally different.
He was speaking life into you.
He was speaking life into me. And to this day, he'll speak life into me. Whatever it is, I battle and struggle with depression. So some days I may not be having a good day. He's still like that oomph in me to push me to that limit, to speak life into me. And he may not be a wholeheartedly full out prayer like I am, because we are different in a sense, but his small prayers help me. It shows me that we're learning and building and feeding off of each other. But when I am weak, he is strong. Mm-hmm. And it made me feel so good to know that, okay, we are like really, really on in this, but he's constantly like, you are who I want, and whatever it takes to get you to the point you need to be so that I can have you, I'm right here.
I love it.
Like, I'm right here. So I had to eventually accept that, and then I began to know that, wow, every broken aspect of my life has now built me to be whole.
Right.
And in my process of now being whole, God has delivered somebody to me that was made in just for me, made in my image just for me.
Right.
And it was weird because I wasn't expecting it. It was like an apple that fell off the tree when I was standing there and fell directly into my hand. And I'm like, okay, well, where did this... I didn't even want an apple. I wanted an orange. So it's like, I'm under the wrong tree.
Okay.
And I was like, no, you're right where I expected you to be.
Right.
So it really made me feel like sometimes I was manifesting things that I wanted, but I wasn't allowing myself to be aligned with the universe to be able to accept it. But once I started really working on myself, I began to learn how to accept whatever the universe had for me and do it gracefully. And even in the times that I got scared, because I am made of flesh and I am human,
right,
it felt good to have supporters say to me, you deserve this? Mm-hmm. Why do you feel like you don't deserve love? Mm-hmm. And it'd just be like, because maybe it's too fast, or maybe not yet, or I'm broken. Like, who's going to want me?
Yeah.
And I'm not healed 100%. Like, right. Who's going to want to deal with me? And they, my friends were just like, you have to let go and let God. Mm-hmm. And I am so thankful for people like that, that were around me to love on me, because they really made it what it is to this day. So I'm just so grateful, because my brokenness did turn into wholeness.
Yes.
And it really does feel amazing. And I just want women to know that love is possible.
Right.
Even after the worst storm of your life, you have been through an absolute tornado. It has ripped your home apart. It has tore your children, and now they're in different places. It has tore up your mind mentally. You can't figure out how you're going to do this, how you're going to do that. And then it's like the sunshine and the rainbow, and mm-hmm. the answers are within the rainbow, and you're meeting new people who are meant to be in your life. And once you start to feel like, okay, this is who I am, and you stand your ground and you stand in your peace, God just keeps blessing you mm-hmm. with all kind of things and people. And then eventually you have that one by you who you weren't expecting to be your next, because you're not looking for a next. You're just
right.
thinking about your healing. And that ends up being the person that you were meant to be with
yeah.
all along.
And that right person will love you through your healing. You know, they'll
yes.
respect your boundaries. They'll understand it. They'll speak life into you. They'll encourage you.
Mm-hmm.
The person you're supposed to be with, he will not, or she will not, you know, make you feel less than. It won't be confusing.
Exactly.
It won't be complicated. You know, God will bring clarity. Keisha, like, what was your healing process like, you know? And it wasn't to say, you know, that you were completely whole or healed when you met the guy that you're with now, but what were the first steps that you took after the divorce? You know, I know you started looking for an apartment, but what were the things that you did as far as self-care? Maybe it was prayer, maybe it was books that you read, maybe it was podcasts, you know, what was it that helped you in your healing process?
What helped me in my healing process, first, it was definitely prayer, constantly asking for guidance.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was watching different sermons online, as far as going to YouTube. I ended up subscribing to Transformation Church with Pastor Michael Todd. I ended up following, I always have been a fan of Pastor Sarah Jakes Roberts,
yes.
like always. And in that time, her and Pastor Michael Todd had a lot to do with me loving myself again, me not blaming myself for the end of my marriage.
Right,
They really spoke life into me, and they didn't even know it.
Mm-hmm.
It also was reading books that were based on documentaries or based on how to love yourself. I also ended up reading Love Languages again. I had read it before a long time ago, but when you reread things with newfound eyes,
right.
you start to see new information that is now viable to you. So reading Love Languages, not necessarily so that I can learn how to love somebody else, which it did end up helping me, but in the midst of trying to figure out what are my love languages,
mm-hmm.
because apparently I wasn't being loved in the way I wanted to be loved. But how do I really want to be loved?
Right.
What makes me happy? So just learning how to add material that would enlighten me, something that I can apply, and taking notes.
Mm-hmm.
Meditation was also a big one, and then aromatherapy also helped me. So getting different candles that spoke to me so I would light them while I meditated, and then I said prayer, but prayer was a huge one for me too. I did, and it also going back to counseling, just kind of refounding myself, like really trying to rebuild myself from the ground up. Like, okay, I have been through hell and back, like from childhood to now. Please tell me, how can I be a strong woman again? Because
right.
I don't know what I'm doing. So giving me that guidance to mm-hmm. say, you're on the right track. You've kept some of the things we went through before. there's nothing wrong with you. You're okay. Yes, you're doing the right steps. Have confidence in yourself, because sometimes we don't always have confidence in ourselves when we're going through. So just doing those things. I also used to run track in high school, so going out for jogs and runs, that okay. gave me new energy. So exercise. And those were pretty much it. Oh, spending more time with my children also helped me.
Yeah.
So doing different things with them, it gave me newfound eyes. Having open conversations with my oldest son. I had him at 17. Well, pregnant with him at 16, had him at 17. So he's kind of grown up with me. He's seen a lot. He's been around. He's heard things. He's children here in Seattle.
Right.
So getting his perspective, asking him, is he okay? Just really getting to learn my children again, too. So that also helps me, because it kind of gave me a sense of, was I going in the right direction? Do my children feel like I have changed? Hearing their opinions about me, it did help, because I wanted their input. I wasn't asked those questions as a kid.
Wow.
What I thought, it didn't matter. So to me, it was very important to make sure that my son was okay, because he had seen a lot. He had heard a lot. He had experienced a lot with me in my life. So it was just getting him to open up to me, and so that we can have that relationship where he felt comfortable to tell me, Mom, I see you, or Mom, I feel this way, or whatever it was. I wanted him to be open enough. And I told him his key word to me when he wanted to get something serious off his chest is, Mom, we really need to talk, or I really need to talk to you. Is that okay?
Aww.
And I would set time aside so that we can sit down and have those quote-unquote grown-up conversations.
Yeah.
That way we wouldn't be interrupted by his little sister, baby brother. That way we would have our time so that he can get off whatever he needed to get off. Because in the midst of me trying to make my marriage work, I was so distraught one day. My son came crying to me and said, Ma, I know I wanted our family together, but whatever makes you happy. I don't like seeing you like this. You used to be happy. And that hit me.
Wow.
So when I decided to heal, I decided to include him in my healing process. And it helped. It helped a lot. It really did help. Our children are supposed to be our foundation. And sometimes we are not good to them by the situations we keep ourselves in.
Right,
so
right.
While I was healing, I wanted to make sure that he saw me healing. He knew that I valued his opinion, and he knew that I loved him enough to fix whatever I had done to our family.
Yeah.
Because I wasn't perfect, and I'm young, and I'm learning and doing this mommy thing with no real parental guide. It's we learn, we live, and we love, and I'm trying to keep him included in that.
Yeah.
As well as my younger children, but because he's older, he's seen more, he's heard more, and I knew that it was important to have him involved to help me heal. Because he's seen my hurt eyes.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted him to witness my glow up.
Right.
I wanted him to feel that glow up so that he knew, okay, mommy's okay now.
Yes,
mommy's not in the space she was. She's good. And I tell him all the time, you helped me get there, boo. And we laugh and we joke about it. But he knows that I love him, and this is serious. And he is my kid, but he's also, in a sense, my friend. And we have discipline boundaries, you know.
Yeah.
I try my hardest. We have all these different boundaries with each other. But he helped me heal.
Mm-hmm.
All of those things, meditation, prayer, aromatherapy, counseling, and open conversations with my son and involving my children more in my life, all helped me become, and is still helping me become, a better woman, and a better woman and mother for them, a better employee, a better woman in general, and that is my biggest goal, is to constantly grow and glow.
Yes, grow and glow. Oh, girl, I was over here crying. I don't know why it made me so emotional, but just to hear you talk about how you were with your son and, you know, having those conversations with him and asking him, is he okay? How does he feel? And It's just so, so beautiful. The strength that you had to walk away for your kids, you know, and the many other reasons why you walked away. But it's important because so many women stay in the marriage or in the relationship because of the kids. When it's important for us to find the strength to leave for the kids. Yes. Like you said, kids see everything. They see it. They hear it. They're sponges. And what we're doing is teaching them brokenness if we continue to allow it. We're teaching them to, you know, be in these toxic relationships because they'll grow up and see this is what love looks like. You know, this is what I see my mom do. This is what she stayed through. No, he loves me. No, he does not. That's not what love is. So, girl, I commend you. I commend you. And I'm so, so happy for where you are now. Girl, your posts, your statuses, and I'm just so happy for you because it's hope. You know, other women see it, and it's just like real love is still out there. You know, gentlemen are still out there. Real men are out there, you know. So I just want to encourage you to keep it how it is. You know, it's working for y'all. Stay low-key. Keep God first and, you know, keep seeking him, although you are happy. And I wish you the best in the rest of your healing because I know that's the process as well. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you for sharing your story, Keisha.
Thank you for wanting to hear it and for having me on your lovely podcast.
You are so welcome, and I want to wish you a very happy Mother's Day.
Thank you. You have a happy, well, you are a mother, so exactly. Happy Mother's Day to you too.
Okay. I'm still getting used to that. Like, my friends and my family, they tell me happy Mother's Day. And for those who are listening, I talked about this like in season one, but when I started dating Tyron, well, when I met him, he was a single father and I'm a full-time mom, you know, to his child. So I am a mother. So thank you, Keisha.
You're welcome.
All right, well, I will talk to you later. Thank you guys so much for listening. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for supporting. I know I broke it up into 3 episodes and y'all wanted to fight me and, you know, things got tense. But I appreciate you for tuning in and just supporting Keisha and her story. Again, this was Brokenness to Wholeness. This is More to the Story, the podcast and show. Please check out my website at jadasharice.com. Make sure you subscribe so you never miss a story. You can also purchase my book, Brokenness That Made Me Whole. It's available on Amazon, online at Walmart, Target. It's on Apple Books. Listen, just search it. I would appreciate it. Until next time, because there's always, always more to the story.
Said to get a better understanding and to clarify. It was the effort he put in to get my